The Devil's Breath is my first book, and I was working in television for many, many years, and I was getting really quite frustrated because I wanted to write a bigger story, and I wanted lots of adventure, and I wanted lots of thrills and spills, and put my character in danger, and either do that through Hollywood movies or a book, and I really wanted to write a book. So that's how that came about. Now, Max Gordon, my hero, I just saw him as really quite an ordinary boy, but who did lots of adventures. And he was at a school out in Dartmoor in the south of England. And the moorland is a pretty tough place to be anyway. But because his mum had died and his dad was a sort of secret biologist and scientist, he had been put in this outward bound school. And at first he was very uneasy because it was quite tough. But he settled in and he really took to it. And he liked all the sports, the mountain biking, the canoeing, the orienteering, and the walking through the hills. So I thought that was a good place to start. And not only that, but his school, Dartmoor High, that's built on big old rocks that go back in ancient time. And some say that the school itself was built on an old Roman legion fort. And certainly down in the vaults where everything is kept for the school, there's certainly a sense of a Roman influence. So I'm not sure if we're going to be going down there again, but there are definitely secrets being held. When I decided to have Max be threatened, he's threatened right from the beginning. And then he realizes that his father's gone missing. And he has to go and find his dad, because his dad, out in the field somewhere in Africa, has been lost and he hasn't been heard of for ages. So with people pursuing Max and trying to chase him to get a secret that Max doesn't even know he has to fight for his life almost from the very beginning. And the people that he used to trust, they betray him. So no one knows who the enemy is, and no one knows who his friend is. So Max Gordon is really very much on his own, and he has to look to himself to survive, and it really is survival. And Devil's Breath, the thought of Devil's Breath, I didn't know where this was going to come from. And when we worked through Namibia, we took him across the hills, he'd been attacked, he'd survived wild animals, the climate. There's a place out there which is a massive, massive, frightening sinkhole that just goes down into the depths of the earth. And every once in a while, there's a huge, massive eruption of silted water from the bowels of the earth. And the local bushmen believe that that is the Devil's Breath. And it's down there that Max has to go. So that's where the title came from. Now, because I went to Africa, I wanted to go to Africa. I've spent time in Africa. I've been north, east, south, west. I didn't know a lot about Namibia, but it's a very desolate area, but with a lot of unique places, sites, and it's the most appalling place to survive in, with temperatures going up over the 50s, with no water. There are very dangerous animals, and most people, if they were left on their own, would die out there. So that's, of course, where I had to put Max Gordon, and that's where he was going to find his father. The creatures there, great and small, can all take your life. And when Max gets involved with the young San Bushman boy, who speaks very little English, but who's part of the few surviving hunter-gatherers, well, the two of them help each other. And the young Bushman boy guides and shows Max how to track, how to survive, how to escape from the very real and frightening natural and animal dangers. I had been to Namibia quite briefly, only in the southwest corner, and I realized that the heat there was so debilitating that I didn't see how anybody was going to survive for very long. And if you move further north into the mountains and then further east, you start to reach swamplands, and in the far north is crocodile country. To the far west, that's where the diamonds lie scattered on the beaches. And there's a huge dam being built up north, and that's going to block and control more water for the region. So this seemed an ideal arena. And Max and his Bushman friend, they really were, I suppose, gladiators, sitting there in the heat and the dust in the hope of getting through it and finding Max's dad. I don't know where I'm going to go really with all the books that are going to come, because Max loves extreme sports. He's into downhill skiing, he loves snowboarding, whitewater rafting, mountain biking, and he's been training for a triathlon, which is being held in the Pyrenees, down near the Basque Country. And it's a huge area, and it's renowned for massive lightning storms, and there's also a great avalanche risk. So with the second book, we're starting there, because he has to compete in this triathlon. And he's snowboarding, and he's whitewater rafting, and it's a huge contest. And if he could win this competition, it's a junior extreme sport, if he could win this, he'd get a little bit of money to keep himself going for all his equipment, and he'd come back feeling far more confident and better about his life. But things are going to go wrong, and he gets taken from there to Morocco, the Moroccan desert, through the Atlas Mountains, and there's some kind of mystery that he has to unravel, and especially when he finds an old abbey with magic symbols and with a secret message and with something that's going to lead him to an extremely frightening resolution, because he's going to end up in the Alps, and what's going to happen there could be literally earth-shattering. And if Max doesn't stop it, it's going to be one of the greatest ecological disasters that Europe has ever seen. Now, these are the kind of adventures that Max stumbles into, because he's not like a boy soldier or a spy. He doesn't go off on a mission. He's a young boy who goes off and has an adventure. But something happens along the way, and things trigger, and suddenly he's there. He's really right in the heart of danger. And because he's so self-resourceful, he goes ahead and he buries himself right into the action and solves that problem. Now, when I traveled, I've been a soldier and I've traveled around the world. And also when I was younger, I traveled. I went to South America, Australia, Tahiti, Bora Bora, Fiji Islands, South Africa, Namibia, Kenya, gosh, all over the place, and Europe, of course, and America. And there are very special places, and I think it was much easier then, because travel very much meant that you put a backpack on and you stuck your thumb out in the air and you got lifts, and around the world you went. I remember once I ended up in when I ended up in Tahiti, I had nowhere to stay, and I was sleeping in the palm groves. And I didn't realize it, but they have these massive crabs that seemed to be the size of an armchair to me. But they were huge, but they were after the coconuts. And I woke up one morning with one scrambling over my leg. And I decided there and then that no matter how little money I had, I was definitely going to go into a hotel. But of course, the hotels I was going to go into really were nothing. They were just a concrete floor with an old piece of bedding on. But Tahiti is a magical place, but I think that wouldn't be my favorite place. I think I would have to say places in Britain really appeal to me. At the end of the day, I love Scotland. I love the Welsh mountains where I trained as a soldier. And I live down in Dartmoor, which is the last wild place in the southwest. And if you want wild weather and you put a map in your hand and a compass and you want to have the self-satisfaction of just going somewhere on your own and finding the place you're supposed to be, I love it here. I really do. But I do think travel is a really important thing. It's very difficult to think where I got all my influences from, because I was reading fairly adult books when I was very young, but I also read a lot of comics. I love comics. Any comic that came out, I read it. And as a very young boy, I remember I used to get the Lion Annual and the Tiger Annual. And in there, of course, there were many mixes of stories. But the real adventure came for me, I think, when I used to read King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table. I loved Oliver Twist, Charles Dickens. and the Three Musketeers, and I think it was this sense of adventure and daring do. That's what I really enjoyed. I liked that so much, and I still read them today. So if you give me a good adventure book, I'm the man to read it, and I hope I'm the man to write it as well.